If someone is following on the street and taps on your shoulder and says, let's be friends, would you say, yeah, let's go to the cafe? Probably not. So if someone does it on Facebook and adds you on Facebook and say, let's be friends, you just say yes. So why do we have this kind of different perception of safety online and safety in real life?
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome back, everyone, from your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher, to another episode of the Digital Government Podcast, exploring the topic of cybersecurity, this time with Rika Williams, who is an expert at the Governance Academy and also as part of Siguranta Digitala, which is, from the name, you might, I mean, at least the locals, let's say, will guess that it's Moldovan. And indeed, with Rika today, we're going to talk about the activities addressing the need to enhance cybersecurity in Moldova. Rika, this is your first time in the podcast, so a very warm welcome to you.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Pleasure to be here.
What we're going to address today is something that let's say, bits and pieces in past episodes of the Digital Government Podcast came up, let's say, because every time that we talk about cybersecurity or cyber hygiene, in most of these cases, we're also referring to projects that the Governance Academy has been carrying out in partner countries and with partner organizations in the governments of these countries. In this case, in the case of Moldova, the project that was funded by the European Union and carried out by Governance Academy had different goals, but also within it, there were different aspects covering, let's say, the scope of this project, which when we talk about cybersecurity and cyber hygiene, it's not just hard tech development, let's say, but it involves other aspects as well. So, Rika, with you, I would start exactly from this point, and it is, what are the different spheres, let's say, the different domains that are involved in a project that aims to enhance cybersecurity nationally?
Yeah, so, for example, in the Moldova project, even though the main mission for the project is rather the technical side, and it sounds kind of, heavy on building sort of better servers, firewalls, trainings, maybe even. There is always the bigger picture that I always ask the project lead. Are there any activities planned for a general public or general awareness, for example, or capacity building? And thankfully, with EPS project, for example, it was planned as one of the activities. I think what we did in the project was we kind of pushed the level of those activities or the scope of those activities a bit wider. So what I mean by it is, for example, normally awareness raising is considered like maybe 5% of the project activities. Like, so let's say we're doing a new e-service, we then promote it, right, when it's ready. And that's like sort of 5%, 10% of all the activities. But actually, it could be a lot more. And in certain cases, it needs to be a lot more. And what we saw in Moldova and how this project started developing and our little under project kind of evolved was also that the more you do on the hard side of things, the more you talk to the people, the IT people, the organization there, the more you get an understanding of the situation in the society as well. And the more you understand that, the more you see the gaps that are also there, due to lack of money, for example, or lack of authority or lack of coordination. So coming from Estonia, we have quite a long background in cybersecurity and collaboration in that field that goes beyond buying servers, that goes beyond IT, that's more about public-private partnerships, using innovation in campaigning. So we come from a background that's quite different to Moldova, let's say like that. So when we started, that was probably our biggest challenge. But I think over time, we have kind of, over a year now, the more people kind of understand what we mean when we say raising awareness about online safety or cyber hygiene in general.
And in the introduction to you and to the topic, I mentioned these two words, no? Siguranta Digitala. What what am I talking about with those? What are we talking about with those? What is it?
So Sicurezza Digitale basically means online safety or digital safety. And what we did is we created a website that hosts a basic cyber hygiene online learning course in Romanian. But we also have, you know, news articles, social media combining with that. But at the essence of it was a training that is like we consider micro learning. And it was something that we just didn't see, because we asked for it and we couldn't see it anywhere available. We saw, like, you know, there are day courses that you can do. There are 2-day courses. There are certificates you can do in like cybersecurity, information security. But there wasn't anything for the masses, to the everyday citizen, so to say. So what we did is we created it, and then we started getting more partners on board to start to kind of promote it. And for our slogan, that's kind of in Moldova, translates digital safety starts with you. So quite often people think that, you know, IT is the problem of an IT person, right? So if I work in an organization, I have my work email, then something goes wrong, the IT person will come and sort it out. So we kind of like, we have taken a step back from this personal responsibility for our actions, so to say. But it all starts with us. So if we take our phone and give it to our children and let them do whatever they want there, then that's a risk. Yeah. So, and in essence, online safety or cyber hygiene are really boring topics. I'm really sorry to say. People don't want to hear about those things. They just want to get on with things. They have a new phone. They want to use their new apps. They don't have time to go like, let's go through this online safety first, right? But there are many boring topics like that also in like the other spheres of life, like travel insurance, for example. It's boring to buy it. But if something happens while you're on holiday, then you see the need for it. So it's always harder to kind of add the online safety topic onto other things when people are already using things. For example, you know, when for 10 years I've been using internet without any online safety trainings, information campaigns, nothing. And it's really start to tell people like, look, you need to change how you behave. You need to start changing your password. You need to make it stronger, you know, that it becomes harder. So our aim ideally is to have that kind of online safety aspect built in the other things. So if a new service comes out, you can already there say how to use it safely. So it's we always like in Moldova, we almost started on the back foot. People are using the services, people are using the internet, but they not necessarily know how to do it safely. So we very much wanted to bring the real life and the IT life together in this kind of, in this our campaigns and our messages. So for example, like let's bring a very kind of easy example that if someone is following on the street and taps on your shoulder and says, let's be friends, would you say, yeah, let's go to the cafe? Probably not. So if someone does it on Facebook and adds you on Facebook and say, let's be friends, you just say yes. So why do we have this kind of different perception of safety online and safety in real life? You know, you lock your door, you lock the car, you put the seatbelt on, you know you have to do it. But do you lock your laptop when you leave your workspace? Do you take, you know, those are the kind of differences that people don't necessarily think about them. We wanted to highlight and maybe highlight in a more kind of interesting way that is normally done. So we use some sort of in more kind of, let's say, innovative or crazy approaches to awareness raising in Moldova that hasn't been done before as well, for example.
With the main goal, obviously, of not having people using 12345 as their passwords, you know, to their maybe like institutional email accounts or like work accounts or stuff like that. Something that, you know, most listeners would probably go and think, oh, but like, of course, I don't use 12345 as my password. But I mean, the risks, let's say, that come from not making sure exactly that the cyber hygiene personally at the individual level that starts with you is in place is exactly that. I mean, people or actors, let's say, with malicious intentions obviously do not stop at the fact that your password is not 12345. In the same way as it happens also like in real life, if we were to bridge exactly, you know, these two dimensions, let's say, to understand it better. People will not stop, let's say, at the first obstacle. If they do have an intention, let's say, to harm or to access your information in some way. One thing that I wanted to ask you about this is exactly, you know, it strikes me the point of like the digital safety starts with you, because even though we might be talking about like different themes like cybersecurity, the protection, for example, of national digital assets, a topic that we've also discussed in this podcast before and at the governance conference of 2023 as well. If then we talk also about cyber hygiene, then it's important to underscore exactly that these three aspects come together within the wider umbrella of cybersecurity, and that at the same time make us understand that, yes, the responsibility is on IT people and governments in safeguarding, let's say, the digital space. But at the same time, if the responsibility is collective, it means that it's not only on them, but it's on us as well. So when it comes to awareness raising as part of the activities of a cybersecurity project, no, you have sort of like circumscribed, no, like budget-wise, at least in terms of money spent, let's say, what is the proportion of that funding, for example, no, that goes usually into awareness raising. But what comes after awareness raising? What do I mean with this? Is in a project, for example, there are definitely like technical sides, there are capacity building sides, and then there is also like awareness raising, which is targeted to the general public, but also to the relevant stakeholders. What comes after you have raised awareness? Like what happens, let's say, of good that we can point out, you know, that we can indicate as an example after awareness has been effectively raised on the topic?
Mm-hmm. So you always say, yeah, that awareness raising is just the first step, that after the basic level of awareness is there, we can start talking about knowledge. So we start giving people more knowledge. Let's say we can go deeper in certain topics that they need to know about. For example, someone working in public administration might need to know more than someone who just uses their phone for games and social media, for example. And then at the end of the day, what is normally needed is behavior changes. And this is the hardest thing as humans to do, is to change the behavior. Even though we know what's good for us, even though we know carrots are better than sweets, we tend to go to the sweets sometimes, right? So it's kind of I see it always together with those kind of capacity building programs, and even the programs that are like, for example, high level conferences to change the mindset of people and leaders to see the, you know, the bigger picture, that the awareness raising just helps to kind of get that message across as a first step. But at the end of the day, we need to dig deeper into the psychology of people, and if we want the behaviors to change, and we need to, we know that from the, you know, the amount of cyber attacks happening, the amount of, you know, money people are using. For example, Moldova is not a rich country, so if people lose, you know, they are targeted because, you know, of their kind of weakness is, for example, income. So very popular scams in Moldova, for example, are investment scams. So it's financial scam, but they take place in a digital world. So you are asked to invest like €5. And the next day, a portal shows you, right, now you already have €100, right? So the next day you ask, well, maybe give me now €100, right? And then you think, oh, yes, because then I will have thousands of euros. But of course, the criminals have taken your money already. So it's like we're always on the back foot as a communicators. We need to understand what's happening. And cyberspace changes so quickly. New scams come up all the time. So you almost like can't be always on top of it. You can't just like say, new scam alert. You need to have a general awareness of people to stop and think before they act. And that is the mindset, that's the awareness of safety. So for example, if I ask someone in Germany, I ask them like, what's the biggest threat to me when an online criminal comes? They will probably say, let's play into the stereotypes here, they will probably say someone will steal my data. Same in the UK, probably. Like someone will know something about me or use it somewhere. If you ask it in other countries, for example, in Moldova, they will say I lose money. So you see, there are like different kind of motivations behind it. So we need to understand the people, what makes them stop and listen to us when we talk about online safety, cyber hygiene, and so on. And especially because it's always really hard to go very simple on those things. So what we aim to do with our little online training was like, you have half an hour, you can do it on your phone, and you don't need to know anything about online safety, cyber, anything. And it was the hardest thing to do, because try to talk about it without using the terminology of phishing or malware or, you know, the things you want to say, certainly. But so it's always like trying to listen to the audience first, and then you can build on that. And then you can combine also, like, at the end of the day, the people who lead the countries, the people who are even IT people, they are still humans as well. So there needs to be kind of a general approach to cybersecurity or online safety that everyone kind of understands and agrees on.
You made me think we're now halfway through this episode, and there are a couple of two, three more things actually that I would like to cover with you. One actually emerges immediately, like, and directly from the thing that you just said, no? Because you highlighted how it depends also from the behavior, you know, of people. And for example, you highlighted a certain like specificity, you know, like in the issues and the type of scams and like the type of frauds, let's say, and the type of cyber attacks to individuals, let's say, that are carried out from country to country. You made the example of Moldova with the financial scams. But then one thing that I was thinking of is how important in this sense is the localization, let's say, of these awareness raising activities, meaning they have taken place, these activities back in the days have taken place as well in Estonia. They take place in so many other countries. But obviously, this means that it's not enough to just, you know, produce a leaflet, let's say, with some general recommendations that we have learned from one place and then just reapply them in another one. So how important and in what way is so relevant the topic of localization in enhancing cybersecurity and cyber hygiene in Moldova?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because when at the e-governance conference last year, there was a block about awareness raising, and ENISA, the agency for cybersecurity in Europe, kind of said the same thing, that for, let's say, 10 years ago, they would have a centralized campaign that they would want all member states to do in the field of cyber. So basically, they would translate it to English, Latvian, Lithuanian. Here we go. Let's put it on the social. Let's do it. That was like 10 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago, they chose three different topics. And you could design the campaign if there was an authority responsible for cyber, which in most European countries there is, luckily. They had the right to kind of create their own campaign based on, you know, Finnish people like blue and white and minimalist, and Spanish people probably would like a bit of more oomph and a bit more color, right? So they had a bit of creative freedom. And now they're saying that basically they might give an umbrella topic, but it's up to the countries to say that this year in their country, they're going to focus on this topic because of the situation at their country. So they know best what is happening. And then there's cyberspace. They know what other campaigns have been run, for example, with private sector. What are the gaps? Which target group we need to address, for example, maybe it's the teachers in some country, maybe it's the children and teenagers another, maybe it's small businesses in the third country. So there's a lot more localization now. And I think it's the totally correct approach. And the same with Moldova, we really wanted to make sure that we are not doing the campaign in a way, that it's a Moldovan campaign. And for that, we had to have local stakeholders on board. Also, even though the design was done in Estonia, they would have a say in it. And there's an example there that, for example, we had three different colors and we liked them all and everything was awesome. And we got feedback from the stakeholders and they really loved it and they picked the favorite color. But then there was a but. And the but was that it's a color that's really related to a political party in Moldova. So therefore, we didn't know that. We didn't know that this color is kind of has already a political connotation with it. So we changed it. But if we didn't know about it, we would have just put the posters up and thought it's awesome, right? So localization on the kind of level of which target groups to use, which messages, which topics is very important, but also the design elements of it. I think it's very, very important to understand what people like, what they want to see, and what's different.
Yeah, and exactly on the point of stakeholders, this makes me think of the fact that the activities of awareness raising, you know, even though in this case and in this episode we're talking about cybersecurity and cyber hygiene, they do intersect, let's say, another aspect of that we talk a lot about in terms of e-governance, which is engagement, no? And also the fact of creating and carrying out activities with partners and stakeholders that then in the country can do that themselves, no? This is something that we have seen in other projects as well, like just off the top of my head, I will mention the DRIVE project, which was under the Governance and Engagement Competence Center at eGovernance Academy. And so briefly, I would like to know from you, Rika, what were these activities that were carried out in Moldova by the local stakeholders in terms of awareness raising that eGovernance Academy with this project has contributed to?
I think we start from the planning phase. So even if we are planning awareness raising activities, we also need to engage the beneficiaries or the stakeholders. So a project like this will have some beneficiaries already mapped up in Moldova that will be the main beneficiaries for, let's say, these activities, so that you need to engage them in the process. What we did was kind of widen the scope of the stakeholders, because we very much believe in public-private partnerships and NGO power as well. So what we did, we have one partner that's basically, they're called ITIC, that they are the kind of umbrella organization for the IT companies in Moldova. And they're very active in different projects and well connected. So they are a kind of like reference point. And with them, we can go to their members. So for example, telecom companies, banks, and other kind of organizations that are, you know, relevant to us. And we asked them to kind of, for this project, to kind of, first of all, give us feedback about what we have done. And secondly, to help to spread the message, because they have their channels to reach the customers. It's no point from our point of view, from Europe's point of financial point of view, to create like a huge campaign to like boost this kind of channel. And then what? Because the project ends, right? So we need sustainability. We need someone to take over the website later, you know, someone local, because they will get the messages still. People will still send us messages saying something went wrong. There's a problem on my computer. What will I do? And secondly, you need to kind of reach the people where they are. And that's been most effective in Estonian campaigning. So, for example, Moldcell, that's one of the telecom companies, sent a text message to their customers saying, and just a reminder, you know, have you checked this online safety thing, right? So it comes from a source that's trusted. It comes from a source of, you know, authority, but I don't mean authority by like the government. It's just an organization that people trust, and it's not project-based. We are project-based, unfortunately, and it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, you know. The sustainability of the project or the medium-term and long-term impact is always a worry with projects like this. But on the other side, we can do things that maybe the government institutions in Moldova can't do. We can go and take influencers, for example, and use like methods that are not common currently in like social campaigning or any form of public communication campaigns. We have a budget that we can use for those kind of things. So it's definitely needed. And I think the cooperation needs to go on very different levels. One is the PR level and the channels and so on. But then they come back to us and say, look, actually, we see that we have issues with these topics, that maybe in the next project we can address those. So this is the biggest compliment that we have, is that the stakeholders are now coming to us and saying, maybe we can work together. Maybe we can address this issue. We see a gap here. And it kind of goes beyond the kind of structure of the society. Moldova and many other countries like that are quite top down. Yeah. So normally an order comes from the ministry, it goes to the agencies. That's the way it is more run. But what we can do is we can kind of go between those lines and not overstepping them, but like involving other people and being in a kind of in a less official way. And I think it has been the biggest challenge in this project, but also the biggest benefit.
Rika, I would wrap up this podcast episode in a couple of minutes with essentially just reprising a little bit, let's put it this way, the link that you drew earlier between the online world and the real world, meaning as in the real world, there are also in the online world certain things that are quite, let's say, intuitive and simple, let's say, that we can all do when we, you know, have that baseline understanding, let's say, underlying our actions in the online world. And so what I would ask you, essentially, you already have mentioned a few of them like this en passant, let's say, but let's do a little bit of a recap. So what are, for example, the five things that when we behave in the online world, let's say, we need to be aware of, and that in the way that they emerged, actually, from this project and these activities that you did in Moldova?
Yeah, I think for us in Moldova, the five really basic things what we are saying, and basic doesn't mean like bad. Basic means that everyone needs to do them, is to kind of lock the computer, lock the phone, lock the laptop, and think about where you put it, right? So the access to the actual physical software and hardware. Second one is the password. We are still living in the world of passwords. And we need to make it strong. So, you know, you can use three random words, upper, lowercase letters, make it longer. Well, I get different answers. Someone says it needs to be 10 characters. Someone now says it's 15 or 16. It needs to be long, let's say like that, or more than 8, ideally. And I think in Moldova, that was very relevant, is do not click on things that promise you things that seem too good. This is a classic. Prizes, free money, you know, where the people who are preying on you are preying on your weaknesses or on your problems. They know, you know, they know that you would want more money. So that's what they kind of offer you. So it's always wise to stop and think before. And also to not to lose things. So make backups and files and photos, because those are the things that are important to you. So if you lose your phone, people will say, where are my photos? You know, this is the kind of emotional connection between my device and me are probably the photos that I need, you know, the photos of my children or my family there. And also one aspect is to have a kind of better literacy, digital literacy. What do you do online? Are you aware that anything you do online stays online? So how do we behave online to kind of bridge that gap of like, I'm not going to shout at you on the street. So why do I shout at you on Twitter, for example? So the kind of like bridging that kind of like almost like a double identity people can have, so that they are aware of that, even though people can't see what I'm doing behind my computer, someone will see it, right? And the person on the other side is just a human being as well. So we don't want to lose that understanding, that even if we talk about the highest of cybersecurity, behind everything is a human with our flaws and our hopes and dreams.
Rika Williams, thanks a lot for joining us today in this episode of the Digital Government Podcast.
Thank you.
And thanks also to all our audience for tuning in today again and getting to learn about our activities in order to enhance cybersecurity and cyber hygiene in Moldova. That's it also from your host for today. And I hope to obviously see you all at the next episode of the Digital Government Podcast. Have a good day.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.